Blog Talk Radio.
If you go out and come back in, it should be corrected.
Okay.
All right, amen. All right, we want to greet everybody in the master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach while our sister goes out and comes back in. We want to welcome everybody to this edition of Yah's Global Kingdom Ministries. I am Brother Miles, and this is the newcomers class where we go over the topics that every new saint should know. And so we want to say shalom to each and every one of you, whether you are in Pal Talk, in Blog Talk, on the internet in general, wherever you may be listening from. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. We are starting off a new precept on this evening, a new lesson, and it's Yah's rest. And let me hold up while our beloved sister comes back in. I don't know if she went off completely off the system or what. But I think she just needed to exit this room and come back in. Sister Mary, how is the weather up there in the South Arctic?
Right now it's 39, so we had a big storm yesterday.
A big storm? Last night?
Yeah.
All right, amen. All right, welcome back, Sister Denise.
Welcome. Thank you.
All right. Amen. I have been looking at that for a while. I said, you know, I need to change that. I'm surprised you never said anything about it.
Hey, that was my twin brother name, so I didn't mind.
All right, amen. Amen. All right. So we're going to go ahead and proceed on this evening. We are starting a new lesson tonight. It is Yah's rest, his rest. And his rest has to do with where he desires his habitation at. And so, you know, a lot of people tie his rest to the Sabbath. But his rest is not just tied to the Sabbath, but it's also tied to where he desires to habitate, to inhabit. And so we're going to look at this on this evening in this lesson. So shalom to you, sisters. If you will cover your head, we will go ahead and do our statement of faith. And let me see if anybody called into the room. I have to monitor both of these. Where do I have that one at? Okay, right now nobody's called into the room, so we will go with what we have here. Those that are listening online, let me have the ladies to cover your head. Men, uncover your head. As we do our statement of faith, I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction and for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1 and verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Yah. Hallelujah. We just glorify you, Father. We magnify you. We lift you up. We call upon you, O Yah. We call upon thee. Hallelujah. To be our supporter and to be our provider, to be our redeemer, to be our Savior, Father. You are everything and all things to us, Father. We just thank you for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah and hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. And our scriptural reading on tonight will come from Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 1. Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 1. Thus saith Yah, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? This is our, may the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. And this topic on this evening, Yah's rest. Where is the place of my rest? You want to build me a house. He's talking to David. But he's, you know, in doing so, he's revealing some things to us. That, you know, Yah has a place, he has a people, and he has a country that he calls his rest. And so we want to look at all those things on this evening as we go forth in this. Because, you know, a lot of times people use, as I look at this subject, you know, over time, especially first coming into this walk and finding out that, you know, we're supposed to keep Sabbath coming out of the church. You know, Most God told me to come out of the church, told me to start keeping Sabbath. And a lot of Christians, quote unquote, I'm going to say a lot of Sunday Christians, let me qualify it that way. A lot of Sunday Christians try to use these passages as in relationship to the Sabbath alone. And, you know, so they say, you know, where every day can be the Sabbath then. I said, no, that doesn't quite work. So over the years, I've heard people have discussions concerning Yah's rest and Messiah being the rest of Yah's saints. Because, you know, I have some relatives that will say, hey, Messiah is my rest. I said, okay, your rest from what? What does that actually mean? What does that verse, that passage mean? Because what they will use it as, you know, as the excuse to not keep Sabbath. And say, well, every day I rest. I said, you rest from what? Because, again, these things need to be defined. When he says, where is my rest? Where is the place of my rest? And it says Messiah is our rest. Then if these things are in a certain context, and we as believers have to know what these contexts are so that we're not worshiping him falsely. And we're worshiping him in spirit and in truth. So I have felt many use these two concepts as an excuse not to observe Yah's Sabbath, or that Yah's Sabbath can be properly observed every day of the week. Let us, as new saints of Yah, look into the word of Yah and see what Yah considers to be his rest, and how are we to enter into it? Because we want to enter into his rest. He told Israel, those that were unfaithful, that they would not enter into his rest. And so when you see what's going on there, then it was about them being disobedient, and they wouldn't enter into the promised land. They wouldn't enter into his protection. Excuse me. Every man doing that which is right in his own eyes. Now, this is a common thing today. People want to, you know, read the scriptures and, they, you know, so-called they're studying them, but then they're not actually reading and studying them to be approved of Yah. They're reading and studying them to more or less be at peace with themselves and what, you know, what they feel like their relationship should be to the Most High, and not so much so of what he's saying that he wants and requires. And so to be at rest with him you got to also be at what? Peace with him. And to be at peace with him, you got to be keeping his commandments. So we can feel that we have a peace with the Most High and be a lawbreaker. But that peace then is only in our mind. And that is not a good thing. So as we will find, Yah's rest does not have anything to do with a day, a holiday or a feast day, but has all to do with salvation and the promised land and entering into his kingdom. So that's what his rest is, where he wants to, it also will be that he wants to, what, where he wants to dwell at, okay? So Isaiah 66:1, our reference verse on today. Thus saith Yah, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? We're going to dive into this on this evening, and hopefully we can finish this up today. Let us go to Psalms 132, the book of Psalms 132. And we're going to get verses 12 through 16. And when you have it, if you say amen. Psalms 132. Verses 12 through 16.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Psalms 132, starting in verse 12. If thy children will keep my covenant and testimony that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne forever. For Yah has chosen Zion. Zion is a mountain outside of Jerusalem. Yah has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his habitation. So Zion is a place, and it's a mountain outside of Jerusalem. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. And I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud with joy, for joy. So Most High is saying here in Psalms 132 that Jerusalem, Zion, is his rest. Now, when we read in the scriptures all the time, you will see that he talks about Jerusalem a lot. And his dwelling place, the promised land, is his land that he says that he looks over, that he takes care of. And Jerusalem, the Jerusalem from heaven, as we know from Revelation chapter 22, is his bride. Okay. So, you know, the church, you know, we can't be the part of the body of Messiah. We'll be the bride as well. Okay. But the relationship that he wants us to have with him and with this system is like a husband and wife. That intimacy is what it's speaking toward. In Revelation chapter 22, we find that the angel, you know, the angel tells John, come and let me show you the Lamb's wife. And the Lamb's wife is the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, adorned in the righteousness of the saints as a dress. And when we look at, I believe it's a parable in Matthew's, where he talks about, you know, the king sending his son to gather the fruit from the men that he had made the husbandmen of his vineyard. And they killed, you know, the servants that came and took, you know, tried to collect, and then he sent his son, and they killed the son. And so he tells us in that parable that Israel was the guest. The church is the guest at the wedding feast. So in those parables, we find that he says, go out and my wedding feast is ready. Go out into the highways and the byways and invite people. Because when he invited Israel, you know, they were saying, hey, they're too busy to come. I need to go check on my bride. I got just started a new business. Yada, yada, yada. They wouldn't come. So he says, okay, my wedding feast is ready. I'm going to have a wedding, and they're going to be guests at my wedding. So he tells the servants to go out to the highways and the byways and get both good and bad and invite them to the wedding. Okay, so these are guests at this wedding. In this rest, Jerusalem is the place where he desires his home on the earth to be. So this is what we just read in Psalm 132. Just understand that Zion is a mountain of Jerusalem. It's outside of Jerusalem. And he says, this is my rest forever. Verse 14, this is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. So I don't think I got those verses where he tells Abraham that you're going to be a sojourner in the land, but he tells Israel, you're also a sojourner in the land. You're a visitor in the land. If you don't act right, I will kick you out of the land. The land doesn't technically belong to you. So I'm allowing you to stay in my holy land to clean it up and to serve me in it. But if you don't do right, then I'll kick you out of it. I'll kick you out of Zion. I'll kick you out of the place of my rest, out of my home. Okay. So we got to understand that one place of his rest is Jerusalem. Okay. Let's look up this word. What is this word in the English? Hold on a minute. If I can find it in my Bible and retranslate it back to English. Where did I put my Bible? There it is. Let me bring up the right Bible. Hebrew, let's see. Yeah, the Hebrew Bible. Let's do a search. Okay, that's rest. That was the Hebrew for rest. All right, repose, or peaceably, figuratively, consolidation, consolation, specifically matrimony, hence, consequently, an abode, comfortable, ease, quiet, resting place. So this word rest also means matrimony. And as I told you before, Revelation teaches us that when John is in the vision in Revelation, and he's asking about, you know, these questions, and the angel comes to him and says, okay, let me show you the Lamb's wife. Okay, actually, let's go get that real quick. This means matrimony. Ta-da, And I apologize. I keep forgetting that when I start speaking on this mic, I unplug the keyboard. Book of Revelation. So Revelation chapter 21. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
Right, amen. Thank you. Revelation 21 and 9. Revelation 21 and 9. The book of Revelation chapter 21 and 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Now, when you hear this from all the teachings, you would figure that he's going to show you the church. He's going to show you the body of the saints. But when we read this, this is not what he goes and shows him. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from Elohim, having the glory of Elohim. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written upon which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on the east 3 gates, and it goes on to describe the city, and let's go down. So he shows you the New Jerusalem. Okay. So that is his place of rest. It's Jerusalem, and it will be the Jerusalem on earth has been corrupted. It has been corrupted for a long time. But there is a Jerusalem, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven. And this is his place of rest, Zion. And the Hebrew dictionary, the Strong's 3427, Yashab. Y-A-S-H-A-B, a primitive root properly to sit down, specifically as a judge, in ambush, in quiet, by implication to dwell, to remain, causably to settle or to marry, make to abide, continue, cause to, make to dwell, ease self, endure, establish, fail, habitation, haunt. So these are other definitions for that word rest. In Isaiah 2 and 3, let's go there. The book of Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 3. Another name for Zion. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 3. And when we have it, if we'll say amen. All right, amen. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of Yah, to the house of Elohim, the Elohim of Jacob. He will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of Yah from Jerusalem. So another name for Zion is the mountain of Yah. Zion is a mountain, but it's located right outside Jerusalem, and so that's where his house is going to be located at. And that's in the last days, that's where the law will come from. Okay? Let's see what kept the people out of Zion, Jerusalem. Let's go to Psalms 95. Now, this is a Zion as a place of his what? Rest. His habitation. Psalms 95. The book of Psalms. Chapter 95. And we're going to get verses 6 through 11. Psalms chapter 95, verses through 11. And when you have it, if you say amen. All right, thank you. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before Yah, our Maker, for he is our Elohim, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. Verse 10. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Unto whom will I swear in my wrath, they should not enter into my rest. So, the people in the wilderness, what caused them not to enter into his rest was they had a hard heart. They walked in unbelief. You know, they erred in their ways. They didn't believe him, and they didn't obey him. So those, and the ones he's talking about in the wilderness are those that, when he said, you know, when he sent the thieves over into the promised land to spy it out, one from each of the tribes, and 10 of them came back with a negative report. They believed the negative report, and they didn't believe what the Most High had said, that he was going to give them the land. So it shouldn't have mattered what the spies came back and said. The people's hearts still should have been, Yah delivered us out of Egypt. He'll deliver this land into our hands. But instead, they mumbled and they complained and they said, we can't take the land. And then they conspired to overthrow Moses and Aaron. And so the Most High said that because of that, they would not enter into his rest, the promised land. That's where they were kept out of. The security of living up under him. And in his land, which he watches over. So let's go to Numbers chapter 13 and 14. We're going to look at what was the provocation. I believe in verse 8, Psalms 95 and 8, he said, harden not your heart as in the day, as in the provocation. Okay? The provocation is them provoking Yah, provoking his anger. Can we understand that that's what this word is saying? Provocation means to provoke. Amen? Okay, so Numbers chapter 13. And we're going to read Numbers 13 and 14. Numbers chapter 13 and 14. We're going to read them because we want to understand, like I said, it does no good to hear this stuff and then we don't really understand everything that went into it. So starting in verse 1, and Yah spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. So send the rulers, the leaders of each of your tribes, and let them go and search the land of Canaan, which I give unto you, the children of Israel. And Moses, by the commandment of Yah, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. And these were their names of the tribes of Reuben: Shemuel, the son of Zakur; of the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, the son of Horah; of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh; of the tribe of Issachar, Igal, the son of Joseph; of the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea, the son of Nun; and of the tribe of Benjamin, Palti, the son of Rehu; and of the tribe of Zebulun, Gadel, the son of Sadi; and of the tribe of Joseph, mainly the tribe of Manasseh, Gadi, the son of Susi; and of the tribe of Dan, Amiel, the son of Gamaliel; and of the tribe of Asher, Sethur, the son of Michael; and of the tribe of Naphtali, Naphbi, the son of Bosi; and of the tribe of Gad, Geuel, the son of Machai. These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Yeshua. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go into the mountain, and see the land with what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what is the land, what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, what the cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rohob, as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai, Salome, and the children of Anak were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff. Now imagine a cluster of grapes that it takes two men to carry. And they bare between them upon a staff, and they brought out of the pomegranates and a fig. And the place was called the Brook of Eshcol, because of the cluster of grapes, which the children of Israel cut down from there. And they returned from the search of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back the word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land, whither thou sentest us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong. So they gave a good report about what's there, but now they're going to give what? A negative? Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once, for we are well able to overcome it. So they said, the fruit of the land is good, but the cities are what? Walled, and the people are strong, and there's giants there. But the men that went up with them said, We be not what? Able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eats up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants of the sons of Anak. which come of the giants. And we were in their own sight as grasshoppers. And so were we in their sight. So now they make a negative report. Numbers chapter 14, verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would Elohim that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would Elohim we had died in the wilderness. So they're now saying they wish they had died in Egypt, or they had died where? In the wilderness. Rather than, you know, taking the good report and understanding the Most High just delivered them out of the most powerful army that was on the earth at that time. And they're worried about these people, okay? And wherefore has Elohim brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? So, again, they're saying, hey, why did the Most High bring us out into this wilderness? He should have left us, he should have killed us in the wilderness, or he should have killed us, let us die in Egypt. Why did he bring us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey, like they don't have, you know, no protection? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain. And let us return to Egypt. So they're getting ready to do what?
Go back to Egypt.
Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces and before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is exceeding good land. If Yah delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not against Yah, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and Yah is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. So now the people want to stone Joshua and Caleb and Aaron and Moses. And the glory of Yah appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. Uh-oh. Boston showed up. And Yah said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? That's the provocation. How long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere or before they believe me? For all the signs which I have shown among them, I will smite them with pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation, mightier than they. And Moses said unto Yah, then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in the might from among them. So Moses trying to defend them, saying, hey, if you do that, then the Egyptians are going to hear it and say, you know, he's going to say later that you brought them up out of the land to kill them. You weren't able to keep them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of the land, for they have heard that thou, Yah, art among this people, that thou art seen face to face, that thy cloud standeth over them, that thou goest before them by day, time in a pillar of cloud, and in the pillar of a fire by night. Now, if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, as a group, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because Yah was not able to bring this people into the land which he to them, therefore he has slain them in the wilderness. So Moses is saying, hey, if you kill them all in one group, the people are going to say you killed them because you weren't able to bring them into the land. That's rough. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my master be great, according to as thou hast spoken, saying, Yah is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people according unto the greatness of thy mercy. And as thou hast forgiven thy people from Egypt, even until now. And Yah said, I have pardoned according to thy word. I'm gonna still hold the guilty what? Guilty. And I'm going to have mercy and be long-suffering for the ones that are innocent. Because he was about to kill who? Everybody. And men, women, children. That was the Most High's first mind, was to kill everybody but those men that, you know, brought back the positive report and their families, and Aaron and Moses, their families. But then Moses said, hey, if you do that, if you kill these people off like they were a single man, like a group, you know, a single group, the whole group, then all of this is going to say you killed them because you couldn't take them into the land. In other words, you weren't strong enough to. So then Moses says, okay, I'm going to pardon. And let's go back and read this, what Moses said. Start at verse 17. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my master be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, Yah is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty. So he is long-suffering. He is of great mercy. He does forgive iniquity and transgression. But there's a way that he does that. And you have to be what? You have to be doing it ignorantly. And you can't be murmuring and complaining to him and saying, you know, you should have killed him. So the people who are guilty of doing those things, he's not going to clear them because they knew what they were doing. So you're not complaining by ignorance. You're not testing me by ignorance. You know, you saw the miracles. You know what you're doing, and you're saying, I should have killed you in Egypt, or let you die in Egypt, or killed you in this wilderness. So that's exactly what I'm going to do. This is what he's saying. So watch this. So forgiving the iniquity and transgression, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. So let's drop back down to where we read. And the Most High says, you know, how long am I going to have to put up with this people? Verse 20. And Yah said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of Yah. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not listened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers. Neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. So you're not going to enter into my rest. You have provoked me to anger. All those that saw the miracles and know what I do, you won't enter in. Who was it that didn't do that? That he says is innocent. But my servant Caleb, because he has another spirit within him, has followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land. Now Caleb is over the age of what the Most High is going to name. But the Most High says he's got another spirit in him and has followed the Most High fully. into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwell in the valley. Tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the sea. And Yah spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith Yah, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness. That's what they asked for, right? And all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless you shall not come into the land, concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which you said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. And the number of the days in which you shall search the land, 40 days, each day for a year, shall you bear your iniquity, even 40 years, and you shall know my breach of promise. Now, this was heavy when I read this, and you shall know my breach of promise. So, the Most High saying, now I'm doing what? I'm breaking my promise. I promised you that I would bring you all into the promised land. Now I'm not going to bring all of you. So they caused him to breach his promise, to break his word. And I, Yah, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that have gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall be consumed and they shall die. And the men with Moses sent to search the land who returned made all the congregation to murmur against them by bringing up a slander upon the land. Even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before Yah. So he killed all the leaders, because these were all the leaders, right? He killed them by a plague. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. So the Most High killed these rulers of the people right away for bringing up the evil report. And Moses told these things unto the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. They rose up early in the morning and got them up to the top of the mountains, saying, lo, we be here, and we be up unto the place which Yah has promised, for we have sinned. Now we want to do right. And Moses said, wherefore now do you transgress the commandments of Yah? Because Yah told them to get all of them to get back. Where did he tell them to get back to? I sort of read over it quickly, but they're about to disobey real quick. You say, get up in the mountain and back by the sea. Go back to verse 25. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwell in the valley. Tomorrow, turn around and get you into the wilderness by the way of what sea? The Red Sea. That's where we crossed over, and that's where you saw the miracle at. I'm taking you back there to bring it back into your remembrance that this sea swallowed up all the Egyptians, the Egyptian army. Now let's go back down here. Verse 40 again. And the people rose up early in the morning and got them up in the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here. That's not where he told them to go. He didn't tell them to get up to the top of the mountain. He told them to go back into the wilderness, back by the Red Sea. They didn't get up on the mountain looking over into the promised land, saying, you know, now they're saying we can take it. We have sinned. We be here, and we will go up unto the place which Yah has promised. We're going to go into the promised land. But he just told them to don't go there. And Moses said, wherefore or why now do you transgress the commandment of Yah? But it shall not prosper. Go not up. Don't go over there, for Yah is not among you, that you be smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and you shall fall by the sword, because you are turned away from Yah. Therefore, Yah will not be with you. But they presumed, there that word presume is again, right? They disobeyed. They presumed to do what they wanted to do. They presumed to go up onto the hilltop. Nevertheless, the Ark of the Covenant of Yah and Moses departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwell in that hill, and smote them, killed them, and discomforted them even unto Hormah. So Moses had just told them, how long do I have to put up with these people? They get you back into the wilderness by way of the Red Sea, follow the sea coast, and get back into the wilderness. I'm not bringing you into this land. They turn around and say, we have sinned a great sin. They realize their disobedience. We have sinned a great sin, and now we're going to go take the promised land. We're going to obey Most High. We're going to go take the promised land. Moses said, why are you doing that? Because he ain't with you now. You can't take it by yourself, so why are you going to run over? You're going to get killed. And that's what happened to him. The provocation is that they murmured and came against Moses and the Most High, and Caleb and Joshua. And they were going to, you know, elect their own captains and what? Return back to Egypt. We'll go back to where we came from. And they made the Most High mad. Okay. So he says, I'm not going to take you into the place of my rest. You shall not enter into it. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 25. Let's get verses 13 through 18. Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 13 through 18. And when you have it, just say amen.
Yeah. Amen.
All right, thank you. Deuteronomy chapter 25, starting in verse 13. Thou shalt not have in the bag diverse weights, and a great and small. Thou shalt not have in thine house diverse measures, great and small. But thou shalt have a perfect and just weight, and a perfect and just measurement shalt thou have, that thy ways may be lengthened in the land which Yah thy Elohim giveth thee. For all that do such things, and all that do unrighteousness, are an abomination unto Yah thy Elohim. Remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way, when you were come forth out of Egypt. How he met thee by the way and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou was faint and weary, and he feared not Elohim. So his rest, the Most High's rest, is the entire land of Israel, the entire promised land. Now, let me bring up what he has promised them. I found a map. Let me take that down. And let me put this one up. All right, can we see this map that's up here? Now, on this map, if you look at that little area, if I can blow this up even further, if you look, yeah, that little blue area is Israel today. What you see all in red, that's what he promised Israel. So Saudi Arabia, parts of Saudi Arabia, parts of the Sudan, all along the Nile River, the eastern part of the Nile River, all the way up into the European continent through Turkey, coming back down through Iraq, that's the size that of the promised land. We've only possessed all of that once when Solomon was king. No, when David was king, Solomon inherited all that, but because of his disobedience, you know, the Most High started bringing enemies against him to start taking it back. But that's a whole lot larger than what we are, what they are inhabiting today. So, and there's some nations, that's why they don't, you know, some nations that don't want Israel to have their, what, land? Syria, Iraq, I mean, all of these nations up through here, through Turkey, they don't want Israel to possess what the Most High has given Israel. And this is going to be a battle in the end, because those people of those lands, they think that they're what? Their land? But they know, you know, they get this book just like we get it. And even in their, you know, I have never looked in the Quran for it. Maybe I'll do that. But even some of the European nations are going to have to give up some of their land to Israel when the Most High comes to set his throne in place. This whole entire area is the place of his rest. Okay? Not just that little sliver that they call Israel today. Amen? When everything is all said and done, will Israel have rest from all their enemies? Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 19. We're already at Deuteronomy 25. Let's get verse 19. Therefore, it shall be, when Yah thy Elohim has given thee rest from all thine enemies round about it, in the land which Yah thy Elohim giveth thee for an inheritance, to possess it, that thou shalt not blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under the heaven, though thou shalt not forget it. Now, we've talked about this before, when he sends Saul to kill them all, and he doesn't do it. But this is why, he says, because they attack them at the rear. And, you know, even attack the ones that were weak. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 12. And let's get verses 10 through 14. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 10 through 14. And when you have this, you'll say amen. Amen. Thank you. But when you go over Jordan, and dwell in the land which your Elohim giveth you to inherit. And when he giveth you rest from all your enemies round about, so that you dwell in safety, then there shall be a place which your Elohim shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. And there you shall bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithes and heave offerings of your hand, and all your choice vows, which you vow unto Yah. And you shall rejoice before Yah your Elohim, you and your sons and your daughters and your men servants and your maid servants and the Levite that is within your gates, for as much as he has no part nor inheritance with you. Take heed to thyself that thou offer not thy burnt offerings in every place that thou seest. But in the place which Yah thy Elohim shall choose in one of your tribes, there shall you bring your burnt offering, and there shall you do all that I commanded. So he said he would give them, there's going to come a time where he's going to give them rest from all their enemies. This rest, again, is when they have secured the land, the place of his rest. And he's going to give his people rest. So there is, and you will see, I think it's in Romans or someplace, where he says there is a rest to the people of Yah. There is a rest a rest coming to the people of Yah. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 14. What are some of the promises of entering into Yah's rest? Isaiah 14, and when you have it, say amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Isaiah chapter 14, starting in verse 1. For Yah will have mercy on Jacob, and will yet choose Israel, and set them in their own land. And the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. And Jacob shall take them and bring them to their place. The house of Israel shall possess them in the land of Yah for servants and handmaidens. And they shall take them captives, whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors. And it shall come to pass. So, you know, he's saying right here that the Most High will have mercy on Jacob and will choose Israel and set them or us in our land, and the strangers shall be joined unto us. And they shall cleave unto the house of Jacob. And the people, that's the ones who come out cleaving, are those strangers. And the people shall take them and bring them to their place. And the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of Yah for servants and handmaidens. And they shall take them captives, whose captives they were. And they shall rule over their oppressors. And it shall come to pass in the day that Yah shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear, and from the hard bondage wherein thou hast made to serve, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon, and say, how has the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased? So he says, after I return you and give you rest, you shall not have any more sorrow. You shall not fear anymore. You won't ever be up under hard bondage again, because this is why we're going to give us rest from our enemies and from being, you know, overran and overtaken by those enemies. He'll give us rest in the land. We're not going to talk about the servants. We've talked about that before. All those people who took us captive. He says, they're going to join themselves to you, and then they're going to be your captives. You know, and I think that's one of the things that brother brought up, what was that, Sunday? But, you know, the scriptures say what the scriptures say, whether, you know, he wants to accept it or not. Revelation chapter 21. The book of Revelation, chapter 21. When we enter into his rest. Revelation 21, and we're going to get verses 3 and 4. But I'm going to get verses 1 through 4 on this one. Verses 1 through 4. When we have it, we'll say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. So this is the new kingdom. This is after the millennial kingdom, after Christ has reigned 1,000 years. The Most High is going to cause the atmosphere on the earth to blow away and the seas to dry up and all this, the new heavens and the new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more what? Sea. That's all the seas, the oceans, everything gone. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from Elohim out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of Elohim is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and Elohim himself shall be with them and be their Elohim. And Elohim will wipe away all tears from their eyes. So no more pain, no more crying. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. So this is what happens when we enter into his final rest, which is the millennial, not the millennial king, but the kingdom after he creates the what, new heavens and a new earth. Then all of the death, hell, and the grave, all of that stuff is done away with. Those are some of the promises. That eternal life, no more crying, no more pain. All of that is gone away. Go to Isaiah chapter 60. The book of Isaiah chapter 60. And we're going to be getting verses 1 through 22. The book of Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 22. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, my sister. Let me let Sister Mary and Sister Lorraine catch up. Oh, Sister Denise must have been overpowering y'all or something. I only heard her. All right, amen. All right, verses 1 through 22. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of Yah is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But Yah shall arise upon them, and his glory shall be seen upon them. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes and around about, and see all they gather themselves together. They shall come to thee. Thy son shall come from far, and the daughter shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. And the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee, and the multitude of the camels shall cover thee, and the dromedaries of the Midian and of Ephah, all they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of Yah. And all the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Naboth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance of mine altar. And I will glorify the house, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows? Surely the isle shall wait for unto thee in the ships of Tarshish first, to bring thy sons from afar, their silver and their gold with them. So the Most High is going to gather all Israel back to Jerusalem out of these lands, and they're going to be coming back with silver and gold. Unto the name of Yah, thy Elohim, the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified thee. Now, the one he's talking about, he's glorifying in this, is Jerusalem. And the sons and the strangers shall build up the walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor I have mercy upon thee. Therefore thy gate shall be open continually. So he's talking again that all the children of Israel shall be gathered back to Israel. And he's talking about when he has to burn Jerusalem. He has to destroy it because of, you know, all the iniquity that was in it by the strangers and even by Hebrews. Jerusalem has been defiled for many, many centuries. And he says he's going to rebuild Jerusalem. Okay? This earthly one, he's going to rebuild it. And then he's going to bring down the heavenly one. And the sons of the strangers shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy unto thee. Therefore thy gates shall be open continually. They shall be not shut day or night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. So into Jerusalem are going to be brought the forces of the Gentiles, the forces of the nations. And anybody that doesn't surrender and bow the knee, it's going to be when Messiah is there, then what is going to happen to them? They're going to perish. He's going to have them, you know, anybody that won't fall up under the rule that is going to be killed right there. And the glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, and the fir trees, and the pine trees, and the box together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary. And I will make the place of my feet glorious. The sons also of them that afflict thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of Yah, Zion, the Holy One of Israel. Now, it doesn't say that they're bowing down to Israel, the people. They're bowing down to who? To Yah, but actually to the city. Because you got to understand that the Most High sees Jerusalem as an entity. As an entity. So when it says the sons of them that afflicted thee shall come bending up unto thee, verse 14 again, and they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet. They shall call thee the city of Yah. This is who they're bowing down to, the city of who? Zion, the Holy One of Israel. Remember, Zion is a what? Mountain. It's the mountain of the Most High. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. Thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles, and shall suck the breast of kings. Thou shalt know that I, Yah, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. For brass I will bring gold, and for iron I will bring silver, and for wood brass, and for stones iron. I will also make thy officers peace, and thine executors righteousness, exactors righteousness. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders, but thou shalt be called thy walls salvation, and thy gates praise. So let's go back up here. Let's go back to verse 16. And thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles, and thou shalt suck the breast of kings, and thou shalt know that I, Yah, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Thy Savior and thy Redeemer, he's going to have to save Jerusalem and redeem Jerusalem. And a lot of people take this verse as that he's talking to Israel itself. He's talking about the city and the nation, the land. Can we understand that? For brass, I will bring gold. He's going to rebuild Jerusalem in any place that they use brass, that's what he's going to use. In any place that they use iron at, what he's going to use. Silver. In any place where you use wood, what is he going to use? And for any place that it was stones, he's going to use iron. I'm giving Jerusalem a complete what? Upgrade. And I will also make thy officers peace and thine exactors righteousness. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders. But thou shalt call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise. The sun shall no more the sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for the brightness shall the moon be thy light unto thee. But Yah shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy Elohim and thy glory. So the what glory of the Most High is going to shine from where? From Jerusalem. The light of the sun won't light it anymore. But his glory will light. The sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself. For Yah shall be thine everlasting what? And the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Thy people, now he's going to talk about the people, also shall be all what? Righteous, law abiding. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, Yah, will hasten or hurry it in his time. So he's talking about the place of his rest, Jerusalem and Israel, the land, that he's going to re-beautify it. And that he's going to get upgraded. You know, former Jerusalem was made out of stones and wood, and, you know, it had gold and all that stuff in it. But he says every place where it was brass, I'm going to upgrade it to gold. It's going to be real gold. It's not going to be brass that looks like gold. And every place where there was these other things, he's going to replace it. He's going to upgrade it. So in reading that, when it says, you know, thy Savior and thy Redeemer, people will think that he's talking about the people. But he's not really talking about the people in this sense, in these verses. He's talking about the land and the city. That's why when he says, come and let me show you the bride of the Lamb, he doesn't say, come and let me show you the saints. He shows them what? New Jerusalem. You know, so Jerusalem is the place where of his rest, the whole entire promised land. But then he also wants to rest in his people, and he wants to rest in the land and in Jerusalem itself. Everybody that is a citizen of this place must be what? Righteous. They must be law abiding. Go to Revelation chapter 21. We've already read this, so no, we won't go there, because we've already read that. Now, we just read in Isaiah, starting in verse 1. The people and everybody coming into the promised land, they have to give praise to the land. when Yah enters into the land. And that's why he says they were going to come and bow down. They're not necessarily bowing down to him. They're bowing down to Jerusalem, the city. They're paying homage to Jerusalem, the city. Because when Yah upgrades it and elevates it and takes out all the wickedness from it, he, just like he's glorified, he wants it to be glorified. I pray we can hear this. Now, verse 9 in Isaiah 60. Let's go back to verse 9. Surely the isles shall wait for thee, and the ships of Tarshish first, to bring thy sons from afar. Again, when it says thy sons, it's talking about, you know, people a lot of times will say, you know, that's sons, that's only the men. No. He's not going to leave the women behind. He's not going to leave the children behind. Bring thy sons from afar, their silver and their gold with them. So once he comes back and he raises, when I mean by raise, he burns up the promised land, cleaning it out. Then he starts to give it what? Upgrades, causes the Gentiles to have to come in and upgrade it. Bring your gold. Bring your silver. They have to come to Jerusalem. They have to pay homage to Jerusalem because they have trodden her down. Remember in the scripture where it says that Jerusalem would be downtrodden of the Gentiles? They got to come and pay for that. And so he causes them to come back and to pay for that and to pay homage to Messiah on the throne. But also to pay homage to Jerusalem and to rebuild Jerusalem. You see, so you make sure that it's not me saying this. What verse was that in? Yeah, verse 10. Who does it say that persons will build the walls? So they are required to come and rebuild what they have torn up and trampled down over the centuries. And he says he's going to cause them, if it was made out of bronze, they have to replace it with what? Gold. They got to upgrade it. Okay. So verse 17, for brass, I will bring gold, and for iron, I will bring silver. So he says, he's not going to bring, he's going to cause those nations to do it. Now, everything that's in Jerusalem, I'm going to upgrade it. Because you didn't trample down my house. You came and took, you know, my precious things out of it. Now bring them back. Okay. But we have read all of this. Put Isaiah 66 and 1. Well, that's where we started at. And we're going to read verses 1 through 14. Isaiah 66 and 1. This is where we started at. The Spirit of Yah, Elohim, and if we're all there, say amen.
Amen.
The Spirit of Yah, Elohim, is upon me, because Yah has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. Now we know this is speaking of Messiah. He has sent me to my... Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. I didn't turn my page. Just a second. Isaiah 66 and 1. You're in the right place. The driver was in the wrong place. I don't know how y'all ride in the same bus and end up someplace different. Isaiah 66 and 1. Thus says Yah, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things has my hand made, and all those things have been, saith Yah, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembles at my word. He that kills an ox is as if he slew a man. Now he's going to tell us how he's changing the way he's looking at sacrifice and the killing of the animals and what have you. He that kills an ox as if he had slew a man, and he that sacrificed a lamb as he cut off a dog's neck. He that offers an oblation as if he offered swine's blood. He had that has burnt incense as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abomination. So he's talking about, you know, the way that people are acting, the way they are defiling, have defiled his place, his sanctuary, and his place of rest. And he's going to come to look at the sacrifices being made as what? An abomination. Because their hearts are not right before him. Hear the word of Yah. Let's read verse 4. I also will choose their delusion and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. And when I spake, they did not hear, but they did evil before my eyes, and chose that in which I delight not. Hear the word of Yah, you that tremble at his word, your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let Yah be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. A voice of noise from the city, of a voice from the temple, a voice of Yah that renders recompense to his enemy. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. So he's speaking of Zion, which is a mountain, and the city of Jerusalem, known by this name, as though she's a what? As though it is a what? Female? Okay, so an analogy. Right. So he's doing this so that we can understand the relationship. It's an analogy. Shall I bring to birth and not cause to bring forth? Saith Yah, shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb? Saith Yah, saith Elohim. Rejoice you with Jerusalem, and be glad with her, all you that love her. Rejoice for your joy with her, all you that mourn for her. See, when we see all that stuff going on in Jerusalem today, and, you know, we are really supposed to be mourning for Jerusalem. Because is there righteousness there? No. Is there all kind of wickedness being done in a city that he says everybody is supposed to be righteous in? No. So we know that these people aren't doing what they're supposed to do, just like our forefathers didn't do what they were supposed to do. And as long as, you know, history remains and the Most High didn't come back and clean it up, we should be mourning for Jerusalem. Because she's not in the place she's supposed to be. But when she gets in the place that she's supposed to be, when the Most High restores her, then we're supposed to rejoice with her. We're supposed to rejoice because of what the Most High is or has done in her. So right now, we're supposed to be mourning for her. That you may suck and be satisfied the breast of her consolation, that you may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus saith Yah, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall you suck, and you shall be born upon her side, and be dandled upon her knees. Now, I want to slow down here for a second, because understand that Jerusalem is a city, it's a place. And the Gentiles are trampling it down, but he told us in Isaiah 65 that he's going to cause all the Gentiles to have to come there and bend the knee, and they're supposed to bring their riches and their glory. He said that you would suck the breast of kings, and you would milk out on the Gentile nations. That means that their goods and their riches, they will be given to you. You're not literally going to be sucking a Gentile's breast or a king's breast. That stands for of their wealth. Does that make sense? Right. Amen. Well, we won't even have to spoil them. They're going to have to bring it. So, you know, if we were spoiling them, then we would go get it from them. They got to bring it to us as a tribute. For thus saith Yah, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like the flowing stream. So this is going to be a constant what? Stream of Gentiles bringing their riches to Jerusalem. Every new moon and every Sabbath, they're going to have to bring it. Then shall you suck. You shall be born upon her sides and dandled upon her knees. And he says, anybody that doesn't do it, what happens to them? They're going to perish. So, you know, this is not Brother Miles saying this. We're reading this straight from the scriptures. As one whom his mother comforts, so will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And when you see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like an herb. And the hand of Yah shall be known toward his servants, and his indignation toward his enemies. So Yah says, you're going to know I'm doing this, and I'm going to be glorified. And your enemies are going to know I'm doing this, and I'm going to be glorified in them too. For behold, Yah will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury and to rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by the sword will Yah plead with all flesh. And the slain of Yah shall be how much? I'm coming up. When it says, see, when people read this word plead, they think he's begging. So I'm going to be begging, all right. Wait till I cut you behind. For by fire and by his sword will Yah plead with all flesh, and the slain of Yah shall be many. that they may sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the garden behind, that they may sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination. Anything that the Most High says we're not supposed to be eating, we're still not supposed to do what? This is future tense. This is future. So, what, you know, if this is future, why would anybody think or believe that it was okay for them to eat swine's flesh now? If it was a sin before, it will still be sin now. It's going to be sin then. He's going to destroy those people. That they sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the garden behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh, and the abomination and the mouse shall be consumed together. Saith Yah. Now he's coming to plead with them with the sword and with the what? Fire? And they shall be consumed together. All the people who eat swine's flesh and the abomination and the mouse. Because I'm killing y'all all together. And I'm burning y'all all up together. For I know their works and their thoughts. It shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations, to Tarshish, to Pool, and to Lud, that draw the bow, to Tubal, and to Javan, to the side, to the isles afar off, that they have not heard my name, my fame, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. So I'm going to, these people who trodden down my city, I'm going to cause them to come. They got to pay tribute. And then if any of them escape, you know, I find them more or less not guilty, then I'm going to send them out to the other Gentile nations and tell them so that they can declare my glory amongst those Gentiles, so that they know that I don't play. And they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto Yah out of all the nations, upon horses and chariots and in litters and upon mules, upon swift beasts, to my holy mountain, Jerusalem, saith Yah. As the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel into the house of Yah. So he's going to call some Gentile nations to go what? Gather us. I know we be thinking that the angels are going to gather us back into the promised land, but the Most High just told us who's going to do it. Those Gentiles are going to have to do it. And I will also take of them for priests and Levites. Okay, so you're going to go get my people, dress them back up, clean them up, and bring them back as an offering to me, as my priesthood. Only one problem with that. The Levitical priesthood will never be able to serve the Most High in his temple. We won't be able to see him face to face. Anybody know why? Exactly. They defiled themselves and they offered to other gods in the Most High's house. He said, so therefore, they won't ever be able to serve me directly. They can take in the new temple, they can take the sacrifices. And they can be the go-between the people, but they cannot serve me directly. So he's going to go and get them again. The problem is they have been demoted. Maybe I'll get that for us before we go tonight. As in verse 22. And as for the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, for as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make remain before me, saith Yah, so shall your seed and your name remain. It shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith Yah. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched. And they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. So he causes the Gentile nations to have to rebuild Jerusalem. So it's been trodden down up under Gentile nations now for about over 2022 years. Okay, and then even before then, because the Romans had it when Messiah came, then before that it was, I believe the Assyrians, no, it was the Greeks before that. So Jerusalem has been being trodden underfoot for a long time. And when the Most High comes and cleans everything up, when Messiah comes and cleans everything up, let me say it that way, then the Gentiles are going to be required to rebuild the place of his rest and then gather all his people, bring them back, and then they are required to come, and all those nations are required to come and to submit, and they're required to bring their riches. They're really going to be required to pay a tithe to the nation of Israel, one tenth of their wealth to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is actually representing, you know, the capital of Israel, to the Most High. One tenth of their, just like a tithe, one tenth of their wealth to Jerusalem from the whole world. That's why he says you shall milk out on the breast of kings. Israel's not going to be a what, poor nation? And the people aren't going to be poor. And the Most High is going to make sure of it by causing the Gentile nations to have to do this. You destroyed the place of my rest. Now I desire to be in my people. That he said, we are his temple, right? And so this is not just Israel of the flesh either. I don't want anybody, you know, to make that mistake. It's not just Israel of the flesh that's going to be Israel. It's even those strangers that are captive, that are more or less slaves, they have an inheritance in the land. And so we got to understand that everybody in Israel, even the slaves, won't be poor. So let me see if I got anything else for this one, this pre-stuff. So the place of his rest is his people, the land, and the whole nation of Israel, and then specifically, more specifically, Jerusalem is the place of his rest, where he wants to put his name at. That's where he wants to. This is what he took for his inheritance. It's his. That probably should be a better way that I should put that. His inheritance is the place of his rest. But then people would have to understand, you know, what is his inheritance, you know, for that to make total sense for them. So we see that he says, the slain of him shall be many. He's going to consume not just the promised land, but when he goes to clean up the rest of this world, it's going to be that way. And then if anybody after that refuses, he just says, hey, I'm just killing you. So, what time we got? Let's stop here for today. We will pick it up. We'll pick it up. Because everything that we talked about today is Yah's land and Jerusalem being his rest. We'll pick this up on next Tuesday. We're showing all the scriptures that Yah's rest is also in his people. And so we know that we are that we are the temple. We are the place that he desires to reside in. But we're going to look at all these scriptures concerning this. So there's no doubt. And then we'll look at how the heavenly Jerusalem is Zion. And we'll finish this up on next week. We'll look at his people as being his rest and look at that in depth on next week, on next Tuesday. And the heavenly Jerusalem being also Zion. And this is the Mount Zion that the heavenly Jerusalem is the Mount Zion that we're looking for. That's the place that he showed Abraham, a place built by the hands of God, not man's hands. That's what we're looking for. Okay, so we'll look into that on next week. Let me take a minute while we have a couple of minutes left today. I received the business plan, as I said, and I've been modifying it, and I still don't think it's the actual one that they're supposed to send me with all the required tables and things. But I have, you know, gone back through it again, and basically what they sent me was what I sent them. They sent it back to me just in the form of a business plan. But they were supposed to be including some more tables and stuff that the FSA wants. And so I took that opportunity because, like I said, I only asked for originally $200,000 as far as, you know, what we were asking to be funded for when they start using this plan and when we start using it to send out to different organizations who said that they give grants and things. I went ahead and upped that to like $287,000 or something like that. Where's that picture at? Where's that notebook? Right here. I'm going to stop right quick. I got to make sure that I make these go in and get some more modifications while I was sitting at the repair shop today. Do this, but I'll show it to you guys Thursday, and then we can go through it and you know, look at the wording and what have you, and see if there's any places where, you know, you guys can see where we need to modify it or you know, just make changes. So I went from $200,000 to $335,000. That's what we're going to initially be asking for, and seeing how much we can get. I want to see how much we can get through grants, because you know, things like you know, tractors, the tractor, the and I might have to modify this number again because I don't think I put the Bobcat on this. But, you know, 200-some-odd acres, 160 acres for farmland, that's a lot of land to get around trying to walk. And so, you know, these little, they have these little, they're not really carts. They are somewhat like four-wheelers. I think the ones I saw were like 14,000. And so, you know, I put in for two of those. Put in for like a 40-foot or a 50-foot barn. That I know that they will help you build barns to raise those up, to put not just livestock but your equipment in. So, you know, I tried to, everything that I could think of, I put it into this request. And then, so once we start sending it out, then this is the document that we will use. And so we will go over the wording. No, we need to meet tomorrow night. Is everybody available tomorrow night?
Yeah, I am.
All right, was that Sister Mary or Sister Denise? Okay. Okay. We need to meet tomorrow night because I want to go over this business plan outside of the co-op paperwork. And then I will meet with this company again and say, okay, this is, you know, the things that I have added to this business plan, and this is the wording that we want to use. And then we submit it, and then they will submit it to the FSA on our behalf. So, yeah, I want to meet tomorrow night and go over this. I'm going to make the corrections tonight. Make sure that, let me look and see, did I add in the spreadsheet that I put in here the Bobcat? So I know I thought about it, but then I may have... I think I got distracted and didn't put the Bobcat in there. So I have one more thing to add to this, which will probably take it over. Probably going to take it up to about $360,000, somewhere in there, to put that Bobcat in there. Because we, you know, I feel we need one. And again, this is, you know, you have not because you ask not. So I want to make sure that we put it in there and ask. And, you know, the worst-case scenario, they say no. And we just have to do what we have to do. But, you know, that I'm going to, you know, continue to look for other programs, grants and things. I think tomorrow during the day, I am going to go down to the Corporation Commission and go ahead and file the corporation paperwork so that, because after that's approved, then we have to still apply for the nonprofit, the 501c3 through the IRS, and get their determination for this, to get the 501c3 determination for, so that we can apply for the grant. So I think tomorrow I will go down to the city and do that. So on the maybe I can do it online. I have to look, sign into my account and see if I can actually file new corporation papers online. If I can, I'll do it tonight. Or tomorrow, tonight or tomorrow, one of the two, and file that. And then turn around and we will file for the 501c3, saying, you know, our services, yeah, I will wait because I want to make sure that we are all in agreement on what services we're saying we're going to offer. Because whatever we put in writing, we have to do. Well, if we take the money and don't do it, then they'll come after us. So, yeah, we will, I won't file tomorrow. I won't file until after we have the meeting tomorrow, which means that leaves, what, Thursday? Yeah, then Thursday, I should be able to go online and file for the corporation papers and then after that file for, you know, the 501c3. And I think that For all practical purposes, we will either be an S corp or we'll be a limited liability corporation. One of the two. I think we can get by with being a limited liability corporation. I think that the one of them has a quarterly reporting, you know, that you have to report every quarter, and then one of them is yearly. One of them, I don't think you is. You have to look. I have to look at the different structures to make sure. But I think the LLC, you can report yearly as well. You don't have to report quarterly, unless you do it making sales. And once you start selling microgreens and stuff like that, then the sales and the tax that we collect off of sales would have to be reported quarterly. And, you know, if we owe any sales, any tax from sales, then it would have to be paid, you know, during that quarter as well. So see, that shouldn't be an issue, because when we make the sale, then at the sale we should be collecting the tax and keeping back that portion of it, you know, keeping it separate. This is tax and this is profit, so that when it comes time to write the check for the sales tax and what have you, you just got the money set aside. You didn't spend it. So, you know, we'll have reports that say these were our sales, this was the tax on those sales, and so this is the check that we owe to the IRS for sales. And we just stay on top of it. Because I got audited when I first started doing sales of computers through my company, and it wasn't that I wasn't reporting sales or paying it. The thing was, they didn't account for when I did business with the military. The military pays half tax. So they were looking at my total amount and saying, well, you should have collected this amount. I said, no. I said, that's not correct. I said, because this portion of the sales came from the government, and they pay half tax. I said, okay. Then you are correct. We'll have it together, but we want them to pay for as much of to fund and be able to fund as much as we can by grants. We don't have to pay that back. We just have to do some reporting. And then whatever we can't get in grants, then we have to look at, you know, trying to fund through loans if we have to. Because I don't know, like I said, the stuff with Amazon and the split, that split happened Friday. And so it wouldn't matter if I tried to buy stock last night. I probably couldn't buy it because it's not available to be bought again until June 6th. And so it'll be at the split cost. So, you know, still, you know, go in and buy additional stock, but it'll be at the, you know, the lower cost. You just have to buy more shares. So rather than buying one share and splitting into 20, if I was going to, you know, buy four or eight shares, whatever that equivalent is, you know, 80 shares or 160, then I would just have to buy 80 shares or 160 because it would be at the split cost. And then, you know, praying that it goes back up and doesn't take its time doing it either. That it goes back up, you know, rather quickly. But it may not. And so those types of investments, I always do them with the understanding that they're long-term anyway. So we would still, you know, until that happens, we would still be pursuing, you know, the grants and things like that. The price goes back up on the stocks. And Amazon is a very strong company, even though they're, you know, losing right now. But they're a very strong company, and I've worked for them, and I know their mentality of, you know, the workers and the leadership. Just their, you know, their ethic. I know what it is. And So they will course correct and the stock will go back up. I have no doubts in that. How much it will go back up, even if it doubled, you know, what it is right now, you know, we would have doubled our money. But I'm looking for it to go back up to the same price that it's selling for, you know, that it sold for on Friday as a minimum. And if it does that, then, you know, we will be in not just doubling our money, but we will be in the millions of dollars. So that is the plan. And then all these other things that we can't get funded for, you know, we will just do in cash. And put the rest, you know, and I don't want to leave it all in the bank because that's also coming, a time where they're going to freeze bank accounts. And so, you know, I don't want to have that much cash just, you know, in a vault out here or where somebody can come in and try to strong arm us and rob us and do whatever, where everybody can't know what we're doing. Because, you know, people see money, they start getting wicked. And so I would still say that I would take probably half of it, whatever we have left, and put it in a safe, nobody else knowing where it's at. And I'd probably leave half to 25% to half in the bank for us to continue until at this time we can't continue that way. Because even to do business, you got to have money in the bank. You can't do everything cash. There's certain types of transactions, because of the size of the transactions, you can't do them in cash. So, and that's the way of the world. But so that we don't get caught totally, if they close the bank, you know, every penny that we have is where? In the bank, then we're SOL then. So just, you know, trying to make sure that I cover all the bases and have some type of preparedness for it. All the money didn't have to be in the bank, you know, trying to draw interest. Would that be nice in past years? Yeah. But I fully expect that the economy is going to make a big upturn, and then it's going to have a big downturn. And when it has a big downturn, it's going to go into the crapper. And you're going to make it where you can't get your money out of the bank, because the bank aren't going to have the money. So yeah, we'll put half of it in cash. You know, I would do it in gold, but, you know, gold is the same way. If you got gold and you're trying to, you know, how do you barter with it if it's in a bar of gold? And somebody finds out that you have that, then you know what their first thoughts are. They'll even come and try to, what, kill you for it. So, but just understand that these things will go on, and we will have a reserve in cash someplace. And it will be up under, you know, lock and key, a vault. But I won't even tell, you know, my own family where it's at. I may put it in cryptic in a document or something so that if something happened to me, then if you're looking at it hard enough, you would know, oh, yeah, here it is, and here's the combination or whatever. But I just know that I can't keep it all in the bank, or else I run the risk that when they close down the bank, that all the money's there, and then we have no access to cash at all. So tomorrow we're just going to talk about this, the business plan for Yesharon Farms, and this is not the bylaws or anything. This is the business plan itself. And, you know, like I said, hopefully you guys like the wording, you like the you know, what it is that I'm saying that we're trying to do and can agree and get behind it and we do it, or we modify it so that we're all in agreement. We need to do that tomorrow so that I can turn it back in and have them to finalize it, you know, on their end. I just want to make sure that this is the final, you know, format that the FSA is looking for, because I don't believe that it is. I believe the guy, because I've been bugging him so much, I think he's just trying to send me something to shut me up. Yeah, I'm telling the truth. I believe he's just sending me something to shut me up, you know, because they don't have their stuff together yet. But, you know, I told him, you know, when he asked me, had I received, I said, yeah. I said, but where's the template that we, you know, for the tables and stuff that we're supposed to, you know, of the information we're supposed to submit to the FSA? And I said, because I'm not seeing it there, and I didn't hear nothing back from him yet. Yeah, and I think that's because he don't really have an answer. You know, people will tell you things, and if they think that you're not keeping track of it, they'll try to send you something to appease you. But I know what I already wrote, and what I wrote is what he sent exactly back to me, but added some pictures. Dude, is all you was gonna do was add some pictures? I could have did that. So we'll see. But you know, before I give it back to them, I want us to go over it. Amen. All right. That being said, let us bow our heads. Father, yeah, we thank you for your word on tonight, Father, that Jerusalem is the place that you desire to be your rest forever, and that your citizens, Father, that you require that they be righteous and holy citizens to abide in your rest and to enter into your promised land and to enter into your rest, Father. Father, so thank you for showing us that we have a rest to enter into, where that place is, where it's going to be, where you're at in Jerusalem, in Israel. And Father, on next week, help us to see that we are also the place that you desire to have your rest in, and your people. Now, Father, as we go our separate ways, encamp your angels around each and every one of these sisters, keep them safe from all hurt and harm. And until we meet again, remember, I love you, family, but I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Shalom, my sisters. Have a blessed night. I'm going to try to. I'm going to, you know, finish up this plan, finish modifying it, or at least add this one thing. And but I think everything else, well, the wording that I changed while I was at the having my vehicle worked on today, I will add those words in and modify it that way. And then it should be up to date and ready for us to review by tomorrow night. So shalom and be blessed. And I pray the Most High keeps all that hateful weather away from you guys. Amen.
Amazing. what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You're always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. One time for Shabbat, I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient, hanging with the Mishpacha, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You're always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always there, teach me the way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect,
Sister Denise.